Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
What I'm talking about this morning is, I found it fitting because it's Palm Sunday. Speaking of, Good Friday is coming up this Friday. We have a Good Friday service here at the church at 12 on Friday. We know Friday is still a work day for a lot of people. Well, maybe on your lunch break or something, head over, because here's the deal. It's going to be in an hour or less, okay? It's going to be quick. But we take that day to remember what it is. Jesus dying on the cross for us. His sacrifice. And that's what this morning's about, is sacrifice. And the title of it is Sacrifice Changes Everything. Okay? So that's what it's going to be this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus. But we're going to start there. Because like our Christian walk, that's kind of where it starts. But after that, that moment of salvation, we're called to something. And we're going to get into that today. I almost said tonight because I'm used to preaching on a Wednesday. It's definitely not night out. But before I get into that, I always like to relate the message to a story of my own life, okay? Because, you know, I learned from Jesus. That's what he did. He took heavenly, biblical, religious, righteous principles, and he taught them, but he always told a parable in a way that people would understand. And so that's what I like to do. So speaking of sports, like I said, I was the athlete. There was something that my dad instilled into me at a young age, playing basketball, which was my favorite sport. And then I also played baseball, and so he instilled it in me as well there. But I'm going to start with basketball. Was, you know, son, you leave some skin out on the floor. For those that don't play sports, that means exactly what it means. He means you should be bleeding, floor burn, something. Because if there is a loose 50-50 ball, it better be yours. Because there's one thing that my dad always said, and he said it's simple, but it's a concept you got to grasp. You cannot score without the ball. So you got to get the ball. So if there's a 50-50 ball, it's on the loose on the floor, you get down and get it. I don't care. Floor burn, everything, you know, and then later that night you're going to bed and the sheets stick to a, oh, ouch, in the morning. Yeah, anyway, we don't need sound effects. Anyway, but, you know, it was worth it because you'd win. You'd sacrifice for the ball, sacrifice for your team. You know, my dad didn't care how many points I scored because in reality there was no way I was going to touch his legacy in basketball. I don't need to go on about that. He knows. But, I mean, you play hard defense and you leave some skin out on the floor. And I'll tell you what, when you play hard defense, you don't always have the energy for offense. I'll be honest, your energy can only go so far. And so I had to play hard defense and get those 50-50 balls. And offensively, I was not great, as some of you saw last night. And I may have left some skin on the floor. We'll pretend like it was because I meant to fall. We'll let that one go. My knee, no matter how normal it looks like I'm walking, trust me, it's hurting. That's what he taught me. And then in baseball, Little League, I played third base. Any other people play third base ever in baseball? Anybody? Yeah, so your coach has this, you know, this thing in their brain where they're like, oh, this guy's going to bunt. And you're like, are you sure, coach? And he's like, yes, go stand up there. And just so you're aware, he means, like, get closer to the batter. And you're like, okay, coach, I'll go up there. And you walk up, and he's like, no, move up more. Coach, I'm pretty quick. I'll run up to the ball. No, get up there. Because then in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what if he doesn't bunt? I'm like 10 feet away from the guy. I'm almost in front of the pitcher. Like, I could get hit by the pitch. How? I'm going to die. Like, that was the moment, the first moment, life flashing before my eyes. And I was just like, if he decides to pull a hot liner down the left field line, goodbye teeth. Like, it's just, it's over, you know. That it's just, it wasn't good. I was not happy about that. And let's say most of the time they bunted, but as you realize, I said most of the time. But that was something my dad taught me as well, is he's like, I don't care how close you are, and if you aren't quick enough to get your glove on it, get your body in front of it. Yeah, it's funny now. But, see, he said, because if that ball gets by you, it's extra bases. So you're going to stop the ball there. And if anything, he's going to be safe at first, or you're going to get him out. And, I mean, hey, I had a decent arm back then, so they were probably out. But he said, yeah, you make the play no matter what. You sacrifice yourself for the play. You sacrifice. You dive in front of the ball. I can't tell you how many times a ball, as a baseball player, a ball hits you in the ribs. Why is a ball, you have a glove, but the ball hit me in the ribs because I'm laying out on the ground. My shortstop hugged second base. I mean, I shouldn't point fingers. But, I mean, that is something my dad taught me, is you sacrifice to make the play. And it brings me to the message today of sacrifice changes everything. And I'm going to say this now, but I'm going to get into it a little deeper, is the sacrifices we make to draw closer to God. Because he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Paid for our sins. Sacrificed for us. But as I get into Scripture, there's something he says that is calling us to sacrifice. So let's get into it. If you have your Bibles, you can bust them out. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 9. If you do not have a Bible, there should be Bibles around in like the rack under the seat or something like that. If you do not own a Bible and you want a Bible, I give you permission to steal that one. Go ahead, take it. Put your name in it. You could try and like actually act like you're stealing it if it makes you feel good. I don't know, feel cool. But, you know, I'm just joking around. But anyway, the Bible's there for you to use. Luke chapter 9. That's where we're starting today. I'm also going to reference John chapter 6, okay? It is two different viewpoints on the same account, or the same thing, the same event, the same account. So I'm going to reference John, but I'm not going to necessarily read the whole thing from John, because I want us to stick in Luke chapter 9, because we're going to break down in order these different parts of Scripture, and I think it's important. Because it'd be easy to read these, like each day read a portion of Scripture and get lost in just this segment, this segment, this segment. But after we go through it, we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at the big picture. And I think it's going to show us something a little bit different that I think God wants us to see. So starting in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 10, it starts and it's talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 people coming and they got to feed them. I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to abbreviate some things. All right, so in John, it gives a more detailed account of this, and it talks about these 5,000 that come, and what do they feed them with? They feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people. I'm going to be honest. If I brought 5 loaves and 2 fish, I don't think we could feed everybody in here, especially not me. So, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and Jesus takes these and feeds 5,000 people. But see, Luke, I think, misses a very important thing. It goes through and it tells us, but in John, it tells us a boy gave his lunch, and that was the 5 loaves and 2 fish that fed 5,000 people. Not only did Jesus, showing off a little bit, feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, get all the leftovers and gather them together. Because, of course, 5 loaves, 2 fish, he fed 1,000 people and had leftovers. Like, good golly. This guy. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And it's great and it's awesome. But see, there's something also in John that I'm going to read it. Because I want us to recognize this. Is it says at the very end, after all this had happened and Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a boy came up with his Marvel lunchbox and said, here you go, my mom packed it. I mean, that's how I imagine it. That's paraphrasing. Sorry. They come up, do that, feed the 5,000. And this is what, at the end, it says, when the people saw the sign, the miracle that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. They believed Jesus was the one. Now, hold on, I got to do a little disclaimer. On Wednesdays, I usually don't preach with a mic because I do yell a lot. Understand, I'm not yelling at you. I yell because I get excited. It just happens. I always have to tell the youth that. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just, like, loud when I get excited. So with a mic, it might be amplified. So I'm sorry. But that's just so you know. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just excited. This God's word gets me excited, especially when he's trying to reveal something to us. You just uncover it a little bit more like a present, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, what is it? Sorry, it's Christmas. I just got good memories. Anyway, they started to believe it. They started to believe it. And then right after this happens in Luke chapter 9, and it starts in verse 18, the little header that they have, at least in my Bible, it says, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. That's what this next part is. Right after they feed the 5,000, Peter confesses Jesus is the Christ. Now, understand, I'm gonna actually read this part. Now, it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Period. Hold on. Question. He was praying alone, his disciples were with him. What? He's praying alone, his disciples are with him. Does that make a lick of sense? And then as I was reading that, I was like, I'm confused. And then it hit me. Any place that I haven't worked that wasn't like here at the church where I was like with a team of people or something like that, I was praying alone, but I was with my coworkers. I was praying at school, but alone, but I was with the students. I pray alone around my friends. I pray alone at work, but I'm with coworkers. I pray alone at school, but I'm with teachers. I pray alone, and I'm around my family. Sacrificing the moment to spend time in prayer. It changes everything. See, that's just something, that's just a little note. That's not the main point of what I'm about to read, but I want us to remember that. He was praying alone, but he was with others. Understand, wherever you are, the presence of God is with you. It doesn't end when you leave this place. You can pray alone, but be with people. That's because Christianity is a lifestyle, not something you balance with the rest of your schedule. It's not just a Sunday. It's not just a Wednesday. It's not just a Bible study. It's not just a podcast. It's something that goes with you. And guess what? You're going to have to sacrifice to have it go with you. But let's continue. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Still, every time. And he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah. And others that one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Now, it probably happened before this, but I think in this moment of Scripture, we see Peter almost have a salvation moment. For whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Peter, in that moment, proclaimed, I believe you are him. I believe you are the one fulfilling the prophecy. You are Christ of God. He almost has a salvation moment where he says, I believe. And it follows the miracle that started with a boy's sacrifice. What can we offer up as a sacrifice to God that'll bring glory to him, allowing others to be saved? I'm getting ahead of myself. So, right after that, Jesus foretells his death. And he tells them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Right after that, this is all right in a line right here in Luke chapter 9. He goes right through all, it's all in order. And like I said, we could read all of these separate and different scriptures, but I think at the end of this, if you zoom out and look at the order in which things happen, It speaks volumes. It shows you the big picture. So he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This ties into, there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Our works, our actions cannot buy our way into heaven. Those things are good and they're nice and they're great, but those things do not get us into heaven. It is by one name we are saved. It is believing in Jesus. It is a belief in him as our Lord and Savior, as Christ, that saves us. So if you try to save your life, you'll surely lose it. But if you lose your life, if you sacrifice yourself for God, offering yourself, God, here's all of me. Here's all I am. I give it to you. My time, my money, my job, my family, my relationship, my marriage, my friendships. Here is my life, God. For he who loses his life will surely save it. Sacrifice changes everything. The zoomed out portion of this, we start at the beginning. One person's sacrifice, the kid, 5 loaves, 2 fish, spurred a miracle. Jesus, he just gave it to Jesus. He sacrificed it to Jesus. And Jesus turned it into a moment that transformed 5,000 lives. And right after that, we see this moment with Peter where he believes, he proclaims Jesus as Christ. And right after that, Jesus instructs, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I think it's important. When we hit that salvation moment where we know we believe in his sacrifice, we believe as him as our Savior, what then comes after is our turn. God, I love you so much. Here I am. Thank you, God. Here I am. Thank you, Jesus. Here I am. I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to sacrifice my resource, my money, my car. I'm going to sacrifice my meal. I'm going to sacrifice my reputation. Jesus sacrificed his reputation by spending time with sinners. That's who we are in the Bible. That's me. He spent time with me, and it ruined his reputation. People looked at him, how could he eat with them? Why is he eating? What is he doing? He's spending time, the Gentile, the sinner. Why is he spending time with that promiscuous person? Why is he spending time with the, why is he? He sacrificed his reputation to change someone's life. He sacrificed his reputation to meet with somebody who had no one. Will we follow in his steps? If anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would live like me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, will save it. Don't lose your life for money. Don't lose your life for fame. Don't lose your life so everybody loves you and appreciates you and praises you. Lose your life for his sake, and he will use your 5 loaves and 2 fish to change lives. He will use you. Oh, I'm not the richest. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the best looking. I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the smartest or most well-educated. If that was the case, I wouldn't be up here. Might be able to pull off pink, but that doesn't give me the right. It's because of his grace. It's because his love that has transformed my life, and it's because I went to him and said, God, I'm yours. And it's not, oh, how great is Brock? Oh, it's how great my God is. That only he could bring me here. And only he can bring you to where you're destined to go. If only you would lose your life for him. If only you would sacrifice it to him. That's what we do. We sacrifice for him. While you're at work and your one moment is, I get to relax and have lunch and eat and feel good. Sacrifice your lunch. You know what? I'm going to bring this person with me. I like my alone time, but I'm going to bring them with me. And I'm going to bring them to lunch. And I'm going to buy them lunch. And I'm going to spend time with them. Or maybe it's sacrificing eating so you can spend time in prayer, fasting, drawing closer to God to gain more understanding. Because understand, prayer, there is power in it. You can gain all the knowledge and all these things and put together a well-written sermon or story or testimony. But if your life is without prayer, you're just playing. It's prayer. It's drawing closer to him. It's spending time with him. It's sacrificing that moment, even when you're with people, to pray with him. I think of John Bevere. He told a story once, and it impacted me. It challenged me. He was watching a football game, a very important football game to him. I forget what game it was. I think it was a conference championship. And he was watching on TV, and he's rooting for his team, and it's a really close game. And are they going to score on the final drive? And it's almost over. And he felt like God said, turn it off. I want you to come and pray. Yeah, you're thinking, well, God... And he has a conversation with God, and he says, it's almost over. I'll pray after. I'll spend time with you. God's like, no, I want you to come and spend time with me now. And he's like, you know what, God? I'll make a deal with you. How about I finish the game, and afterwards I'll spend 3 hours in prayer, not just one. And this is where it came in. This is where it just hits him. God said, I don't want your 3 hours of prayer. I want your obedience. I want your sacrifice. I want you to hear me. And you bet he turned off that TV so fast. God got a hold of him. I'm telling you, sacrifice changes everything. And what we can sacrifice to draw closer to God. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying, oh, you can't spend time with family, you can't have fun at your job, you can't have alone time. No. That's not what I'm saying. But understand, you can't lose your life in all of that. You can't let your life be just that. You lose your life for his sake, and you will surely save it. Because no matter how much you volunteer, no matter how much you donate, no matter how much time you commit to something in the church or so be it, if Jesus is not involved, if it's not for him, it means nothing. It means nothing. His sacrifice, it all started with his sacrifice on the cross, that salvation moment. And after that, it's our turn. I love you, Lord. Here I am. Here's my sacrifice. You want to draw closer to God? Sacrifice. We all have something. We all have something. There's a sacrifice coming in. You know, when I was preparing for this sermon, I hit a point where I was like, man, this could come off a little discouraging. A little, you're not doing good enough. I don't know where that accent came from, but I'm rocking it. I need that cowboy hat. No, I'm kidding. It's not meant to be that. It's just meant to be truth. And if you feel condemnation, that is not of God. For God did not come to condemn. He wants to encourage you, convict you, transform you, build you up, lead you to greener pastures. He wants to look after you and protect you. He can't do that unless you give yourself to him. Because he's given you free will. You choose. We choose. I choose. It's the sacrifice that changes it all. I thought it was fitting for Palm Sunday leading up to Easter, Good Friday, to talk about sacrifice. Yes, his sacrifice is something we need to remember, and it's the start of it all, but there's our sacrifice, our following him, taking up our cross daily, going after what he has called us to do and to be. And to do that, we must sacrifice something. Some of the worship team is going to come on up. And we're going to sing that last song we sang again, Set a Fire Down in My Soul. I'll tell you, I've only ever been to one bonfire when I was in Sparta. I've been to a lot of campfires, but not a bonfire. I grew up in just shy of Canada, Minnesota. Okay? So far up north. Winter, 9 months out of the year. Awful. This is like Florida. Anyway. No, it's not. I mean, I'm just saying in comparison. But up there, my goodness. When you make a fire, who here does like the teepee method where you stick the pieces of wood together and make a teepee kind of, you know, well, if you don't do it, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? We used to do that up north, but with couches. That's a bonfire. That is a bonfire. Now, I like a little campfire, but I remember when I first moved here and somebody texted me once, hey, you want to have a bonfire tonight? Yeah. I go to their house. I'm like, what is this? Can you even roast a marshmallow on that? I mean, this is a candle. No, it was just, I'll tell you what I never saw when I was up there, though. Only half the couch burning. The fire consumed the whole thing. We're going to sing this song again. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I'm going to sacrifice myself. Consume me with your fire. Because if you were singing this song before, I want you to know something. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. No place I'd rather be. Oh, really? We're about to find out. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's looking around. But God's right here waiting with an opportunity before you. Come to me. I laid it all out for you. Will you do the same and follow me? I see opportunity. And I'm telling you, the altar's going to be open. We're not going to have people up here to pray for you because I want this to be a moment between you and God. Because last I remember, Jesus didn't come to earth and say, you know what? I think I'll just die of old age and we'll call it good. I mean, they could maybe hang half of me on the cross. Only maybe like part of me. No, he gave all of himself. He didn't say, can we skip the whipping and the spitting and the crown of thorns? No, he took it. He took it for me. He took it for you. In the Old Testament, they would build an altar to make a sacrifice. We have an altar here. No killing animals. We don't have to do that because Jesus was the sacrifice for all. But what, let this altar be your altar to sacrifice yourself to him. To give yourself over to him. To pour out your life. To not let half the couch burn. Instead, be consumed by the fire. You don't got to be the richest. You don't got to be the strongest. You don't got to be the best. You don't got to be the smartest. You don't have to have your life together. You don't have to be perfect. If you're waiting for the day you're perfect to give yourself to God, you ain't ever going to be it. In our weakness, He'll make us strong. Bring what you have. That kid. I just imagine it. Jesus. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's what I got. Take what I have. It's my life. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most educated. I'm not the most qualified. But I kneel before Jesus and say, take what I have. Use me. Use me to preach. Use me to give of my own resource, to bless somebody, to be a blessing. Use me. I'll be a sacrifice. Just do the same. I think of all the different ways we could sacrifice in every relationship, including marriage. I'm not married. I'm not. So I can't speak like I am. But I can speak from Scripture. And the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is to be the same as Jesus loving the church. And a man is called to be like Jesus in a marriage. My question is, are you sacrificing yourself for your wife? In your marriage, wife or husband, are you sacrificing for them, to love them, to respect them, to submit? In your relationship with your father, with your mother, with your son, with your daughter, with your friend, what are we doing in those relationships to allow God to be the center, to be a blessing? Sacrifice your right to be angry with someone. They hurt you, they did you wrong. You're justified. But you know what? You don't need it. Because your relationship with them and to reach them and be a light in their life is more important than your justification of being angry. Sacrifice your anger, your unforgiveness, your bitterness. That's grace. The way Jesus was treated here on earth, He probably had every right to be angry. But He sacrificed that right and died for us anyway. This isn't meant to be discouraging, like I said. I just want it to be the truth. And I just wanted to encourage you and spur you to action in sacrificing yourself, sacrificing the flesh. Part of Palm Sunday was a representation of the triumphal entry, but the palms were iconic and a representation of the triumph of martyrs, the triumph of the spirit over flesh. Let your sacrifice be your flesh, and let your spirit flourish and draw closer to God. Because sacrifice changes everything.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.